T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time, one of the few times we have remaining, for the Wide Nine. And to conduct the Wide Nine like he always does, he's the maestro. He's Tom Milliken.
This is the second to last one. We will do one after the Super Bowl. But next week, I mean, you just don't have the material to do it. We're not going to make up stuff, you know?
No. I feel honored. I really do.
We already do enough hypotheticals around here.
Yes.
All right, so let's get this started. Obviously, two great championship games on Sunday with both going to overtime. What was your single biggest takeaway from both games?
Mine is, it's pretty simplistic. Belichick is the greatest coach in all of sports, and Sean Payton tries too hard to be like little cute Sean Little Payton. I mean, look, everybody's talking about the play, but Sean Payton, by passing the ball twice in that situation, he actually basically gave the Super Bowl to the Rams, if you think about it. Because if he doesn't, you know, pass the ball, especially on first down, you're forcing the Rams to use a timeout. If they don't, it's another 35 seconds. It would have been ridiculous. And Belichick, for what he's been able to do with that defense, it doesn't make a difference. That offensive line, it doesn't make a difference who's there. As long as Brady's there, everybody else doesn't make a difference. He can figure out a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be the Patriots and how they're dead set on making me feel and look like a complete and utter jackass with the way that they've been playing, the way that they've evolved, because they're not doing it the way that they used to. They're being physical at the point of attack. They're running the ball. I mean, 45-plus passes, 45-plus rushes for the first time, I think, in a playoff game in NFL history. The balance that they have is remarkable. In when you're executing those back-to-back-to-back third and longs, you know, to for the game-winning drive, right, and Brady's able to deliver, it was just, yeah, it is remarkable.
I came away the fact Tom Brady's the greatest competitor we've ever seen. He gets himself self-motivated. They have a chip on their shoulder. I mean, this should be old to him by now, but it's not.
Didn't it seem like Brady was surprised that they advanced? Like, if you watch the locker room and you watched his post-game interview, he looked stunned almost. I think they were doing it again.
That consistency is why he keeps doing it.
Yes.
Obviously, the Rams-Saints game had controversy with the no-call, pass interference. Do you think the penalties should be reviewable going forward?
Absolutely, but I don't want to open up Pandora's box. I don't want 3.5 quarters of coaches like looking at a hold on the edge and going, oh, you guys should have called that. I'm throwing the flag, like challenging non-calls or things that you want to see throughout the game. If it's late in the game and it directly leads to this team could lose, this team could win because of that call or missed call, then I think it absolutely should be reviewed. But I do not want it outside of like the final 2, 3, 4 minutes. If it's a game deciding play, I'm all for it.
And I think they should only do it in the playoffs, last 2 minutes.
Yes.
And just on, they'd have to figure out a way to word it, but just on pass interference type of plays. Or illegal contact. And all. You can't sit there and, you know, on a hold and sit there the last 2 minutes, because you could call holding on every
exactly.
play. Yep. I mean, maybe you put the hands to the face in there because it's so quick they really didn't get to the, you know, to the face. Maybe that put that in the reviewable stuff, but just the last 2 minutes and only in the playoffs.
All right, ProFootballTalk.com reported Sunday night that in theory, according to the NFL rulebook, the commissioner has the right to reverse the outcome of a game or put the two teams back on the field at a certain point in the game. In reality, though, could you ever see this happening?
There's only one way I could see this happening is if for some reason the referees were blind and somebody kicked a game-winning field goal and they said it wasn't good and it went through the uprights. That's the only way you could ever do that. No, they're not doing this.
No, I love the smirk that you had on your face as you were reading this to us as well, but it terrifies me to think about Roger Goodell. Like, he was in Kansas City for the Chiefs-Patriots
yes.
game. Terrifies me of, like, him picking up the phone, calling New Orleans and going, actually, forget about that Zuerlein field goal. We're going to need to get back out on the field, 20 minutes of warm-ups. We're replaying it right there, 3rd and 10. Sorry.
So he had to gather himself, obviously, and see what was going on because he is at the other game. But can you imagine him going on the field at halftime of the Chiefs-Pats game saying, Saints-Rams, we're picking it back up with 155
seriously,
to go or whatever.
That'd be unbelievable.
It'd like, be like WWE.
I can't believe that's a rule. Like, he already has way too much power.
Yes.
The fact that that's even in there is incredible.
The controversial no-call somewhat gave Sean Payton a free pass, and Stoney alluded to this at the end of regulation. Was Payton a moron for not running the ball three consecutive plays to strip the Rams of their timeouts?
Well, yeah, at that point, you're playing the clock. You're not playing the opponent, you know, or the Rams. And so, of course, you know, three straight runs, you strip the Rams of that timeout, you kick the field goal, and the Rams have, what, 20, 25 seconds to go all the way down the field to tie it. They still could, but it makes it very difficult. To me, though, it's not just the late-game scenario. It was early in the game, the red zone offense. The Saints could have gotten up 21-0 right out of the gate and buried them, or at least made it really difficult. And they didn't. And I was stunned that they didn't put the Rams in an early
hole. Well, I think both games were decided in the first half, actually. The fact that the Chiefs didn't score and the Saints didn't get up bigger than they should have.
They were, you know, look, it was 13-0. It was 20-10. But at the end of the game, I know sometimes, you know, people tend to go too conservative and not pass the ball. It's not that you had a kicking situation where you didn't have a good kicker. Lutz is a really good kicker. He did miss the one against Philly last week.
Yeah, he killed me with that.
But, I mean, he's in perfect position to just run the ball three times and kick the field goal.
I thought this was similar to Pete Carroll a couple times in his career. The Rose Bowl, when he should have punted and made Vince Young go the whole field with no timeouts. And then the end of the Super Bowl 49 where he coaches get cute, and I just don't get it. All right, Greg Zuerlein's 57-yard kick was the longest game-winning kick in postseason history. Is that the greatest field goal of all time? If not, what is?
Well, the Adam Vinatieri field goal in the tuck game was because of the optics. It just looked beautiful. It was the fact that he made the kick. I'm going to go back in the Wayback Machine. It was a regular season, but Tom Dempsey's 63-yard field goal. Hold on. Let me explain.
How is that better than this?
Because it prolonged. It actually put in the fact that, yes, the Lions are the only team that could happen to.
Is there a chance that it's the greatest game-winning field goal in playoff history and also the most underappreciated game-winning field goal in NFL history?
No one
is talking about this 57-yarder. It looked like an extra point for the guy.
Well, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about things that you don't, you know, that you take for granted in life. 50-yard field goals, we take for granted now.
Can I also say this, too? Maybe the most remarkable field goal, and it didn't go in, but the Cody Parkey, I mean, three different bounces, one off the finger, one off the post, one off the crossbar and coming out, that has to be one of the more remarkable field goals of all time.
That's a great point because we don't compliment these guys when they make these great kicks and we only look at the ones they miss.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this could be the perfect bookend to Tom Brady's career if he beats the Rams in the Super Bowl just like he did the first time he was in one. Should Brady call it quits and go out on top if he wins?
No. I mean, it's already been proven that the Patriots can kind of like reinvent the wheel, if you will. They're going to have 12 draft picks coming up, you know, in next year's NFL draft. They're clearly going to be able to get more talent to surround him. The fact that they have an O-line that can get certainly a push up front. They run the football. They're more physical. It's made everything easier on Tom Brady. Plus, I'm terrified of what Tom Brady will become when he doesn't have football. Like, he's already weird and so invested in TB12 and the avocado ice cream that he eats. Like, what is he going to do with himself? I don't want him to get weirder than he is.
He could coach.
I wonder.
He needs something to get that competitive thing out.
Seriously.
Coach at his alma mater.
Oh, boy.
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah, when Gattis leaves.
Hand him the keys.
The answer is no, and especially not now. I think maybe Kyle mentioned all the draft choices. If the Patriots draft a young guy, let him learn from Brady for 1 year, and then Brady retires after that.
No, and then Brady will try to get him traded just like he did.
All right, the Patriots will appear in their 9th Super Bowl since 2002. That is 9 of the past 18 Super Bowls. Are you tired of the Patriots making it, or do you love the dominance?
I know people get pissed off, but when I say this, I love it. I love Brady. I love Belichick. He's such an ass during the games and things like that. But there's something about awesomeness, and they are just so awesome.
Yeah, I don't love it, but I have a healthy appreciation for it. And it's funny, too, because you know, I was very much like, oh, my God, the NBA is dead when the Golden State Warriors got Kevin Durant. They had already, you know, won a championship. But at this point, I find myself appreciating the Warriors and knowing we only have like 6 months to watch this roster still together. So, again, I think you appreciate what it is because as soon as it's gone, I mean, that's it.
We'll never see anything like this again.
It's incredible.
It's unbelievable. I was texting with friends after the game and the GOAT was just going flying left and right. I mean, just the mad respect. It's unbelievable. What was the single biggest reason why the Chiefs lost on Sunday? Did Andy Reid cost them again?
The single biggest reason was Dee Ford was offside. I mean, that doesn't happen.
How do you do that?
That's lying ass. Andy Reid, I feel so bad for him. I mean, he He's what, 2-10 in one possession playoff games. His timeout with he had a first half, he made a timeout, which was a major mistake because New England, I think, was just going to run out the clock. And he thought, you know, aggressively, maybe I get the ball back. But basically, it gave New England a chance for another touchdown, and they converted it. So, in a weird way, he did cost them.
No, ultimately, I think it's the defense. They got to spend some money. They got to allocate, you know, certainly some draft picks to upgrade the talent base that they have on the defense. Defense has been an issue, really, you know, all year. But I thought it was the fact that Patriots got some pressure on Patrick Mahomes as well. He was sacked 4 times. He wasn't able to do everything he's been doing all season long, despite what he did being able to get to overtime. It felt like the Patriots dominated the game, but still had to go to OT to somehow win it. It was bizarre.
I thought the story of the AFC playoffs in some ways was just the way that San Diego did it to Lamar Jackson with the rush right up the middle, getting their face quick, and then the same thing. And Belichick copied what the Ravens did and just kept carrying it over. It's amazing. Finally, it was reported over the weekend that that multiple teams are interested in signing Kareem Hunt. Would you support the Lions going after Hunt?
Absolutely. And look, I've said this before, when you're a team that's won one playoff game in 57 years, or since 1957, you take some chances on character risk. Somebody's going to give him a chance. Why not the Lions?
I hate to be on my high horse here. But I can't see a scenario where they would do it, and I don't want any part of that. The Lions have enough distractions. They have enough things holding them back from being anything successful in the NFL. I feel like this would be a large distraction, especially in that locker room. You can find a guy that could do similar things to a Kareem Hunt to pair with Kerryon Johnson. I don't need it.
All right. That is the Wide 9 here on 97.1 The Ticket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.